Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making a mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day. New hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today. My heart and I'm gonna do my part and make this a positively beautiful day.
Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane. Not only is it Thankful Thursday, but it's the Thanksgiving holiday. So happy Thanksgiving to you. The holidays can be a very emotional time for many. And though being alive is a blessing in itself, sometimes it's just not enough. Thanksgiving marks the time where people begin their holy day season, their shopping and gatherings, festive music and great food. Everything around us says that people should be happy. Tonight, I'm thankful for the gift of being able to locate myself. I'm thankful for being able to be right where I am, whether it's understood or accepted by others. And tonight, I encourage each of you to embrace where you are, whether it's a jubilant or melancholy place, all emotions serve a purpose. No matter what life throws your way or how bad things may be right now, I bet if you quiet yourself and open yourself up, you will find many blessings that are right there staring you in the face. I encourage you to every day over the next 5 weeks or so of this season, find a new thing to be grateful for. Go one further. Write it down. And in those moments when you feel less than great, pull it out and remind yourself how blessed you truly are. Tonight we are 4 weeks into our Healthy Relationship series, and I am delighted that Derek Sanders has come back to join us again this week. If you've missed any of the last episodes, be sure to check the archives. He offers such profound insights on love, marriage, relationships. It's like having a heart-to-heart with your closest male relative. There's something in his message for both men and women, so don't miss a word of it. Derek, welcome to the show. Derek, are you with us? Derek, are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay. All right, welcome to the show. Glad
Thank
to have you.
You
with us tonight. Happy Thanksgiving and all that.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to start with a quote that I saw on your page today. It was a picture, and then I'll just let you expound upon it. It said, a real woman can do it all by herself, but a real man won't let her. So I saw your feedback, so I'm going to go ahead and let you just expound upon that with our listening audience and tell them what your thoughts are about this.
Well, it's funny. Actually, a friend of mine texted me that a couple of days ago, and she said, make sure you talk about this at your panel discussion. And so I said, well, you know what, maybe I'll post it on my Facebook page. And I just didn't get a chance to get around to it until today. My concern with a lot of those types of posts, there was another one that I had, I think I mentioned it in one of the other talks that we did. My concern with those types of posts is when it's subtly manipulative, because it says that a real woman can do she can do it all by herself, but a real man won't let her. So it uses certain words. It makes a distinction between a real man and a real woman, or a real man and a regular man, a real woman and just a woman, in a very subtle fashion, but it does not explain what a real woman, well, it doesn't explain so much what a real woman is, neither does it explain what it is that she's able to do by herself. I mean, what does that mean? She's able to do it by herself, and realistically, as a single person, a single man, and a single woman, when we meet each other, we expect that we should be doing certain things by ourselves. That's how you look at a person and measure whether that person is even someone that you would consider even being in a relationship with. What are they able to do by themselves? Are they supporting them? You know, am I able to? My girlfriend should have been looking at me saying, is this a man who's able to support himself? What is it that he's doing for himself? Because, we may have even talked about that, when we talk about independence in a relationship, two single people should be fully independent. So she should be able to look at me and see that I'm able to manage my affairs. Am I able to pay my bills on time? Am I able to manage myself without her help, and vice versa? So when I see a post that says she's able to do it by herself, but he won't let her, it's like, so she's able to take care of things, but he won't allow her to. And then depending on the stage of your relationship, especially for single people, there are certain things that I'm supposed to do that my girlfriend is not supposed to do for me, and vice versa. It's not her responsibility to wash my clothes. I'm not her husband. She's not my wife. And it's not my responsibility to pay her bills. I am not her husband. Now, it's different when you talk about in certain instances where things happen and people need your help. That's different. But we get into the relationships a lot of times. I've seen it, and I'm sure you've seen it, where people act as though they're married. And it's like they muddy the waters as though they're married. And then they have expectations of people who are married. And at this stage of our relationships, we're looking at each other. Like one person told me, well, she doesn't want to feel like she's being interviewed. I said, you are at this stage, and she should be interviewing me too. So, but anyway, so that when I saw that's what I saw. It was, it just, I don't, that type of language because it's some, like I said, somewhat subtle, because it makes that distinction, and it says a real man. So then if this guy wants to be a real man, then I guess that means that he's supposed to not allow a woman to do whatever it is she does by herself that was never really communicated in the post. And
I had several different thoughts when I saw that. So first of all, I guess over the last couple of shows or so, we've been talking about the difference between men and males, you know, and that not mm-hmm. every male is a man, you know. And mm-hmm. so initially when I saw that, my mind went there, like, okay, well, you know, they're using the word real versus, you know, man and woman versus, you know, male and female. You know, people who are not necessarily, you know, functioning in their, like, full roles or whatever. Okay, so that was the first set of thoughts I had. But then, oh, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I posted something on my fan page about being a single person or a woman who has to do it all, and sometimes feeling like you're being penalized for it. Like, I have heard, you know, men say stuff like, oh, you act like you don't need me, you know. And I had a different set of thoughts about that. And to me, it's still kind of tied in, you know, with this whole thing of, you know, what a so-called real man or real woman is going to do and or allow, okay? So being created with different roles. And so, you know, there are some things that, you know, a woman is just not created to have to do, you know, and yet if she's single, you know, then she has to fulfill the role of both being the man and the woman in her life, because there's no one else there to meet the needs. And, you know, what she's supposed to do is just go without men, especially if you throw in things like, you know, children and, you know, other responsibilities. You know, there are some stuff that they would just say, you know, oh, you wouldn't need to have to do those kinds of things. You know, that would be reserved more for, like, you know, the man in your life. And so a lot of times when I am talking about relationships or the standpoint of relationships, I realize I am coming at it from a point of, like, marriage, you know, a marriage kind of thing. But, you know, even before mm-hmm. you get there, you kind of help bring me back to, you know, yes, hello, not everyone's married, you know, and so... Mm-hmm. Before you get there, there's all these steps that would have to take place even before you would get to, you know, like some of my mindset on what relationships and stuff like that are supposed to look like. Statement of, you know, you act like you don't need me. Well, you know, a woman who has had to step up and to fulfill every role in her life, you know, because there has to be, because of the absence of a man there doing his part, she has learned to depend on herself, you know, and so it's not that she doesn't need him. There's always, a person always needs to be able to function and operate in the role in which they were created for. And so if she's doing parts, and yet we're saying, you know, this is the Living Abundantly show, so we're saying, you know, be your best and live your most authentic life. It's difficult to do that if you are having to fulfill roles that you were not necessarily created for. And so you can't, it's difficult to be yourself or to be your best self, you know, if you're having to spread yourself too thin because you're having to be both A and B, you know. And so, you know, for the man who says, you know, well, I don't really know how to approach her, or I don't know if I should approach her, you know, she's a little too independent. Well, she's independent because she has to be. So step up, go ahead and do it. And as you show her through consistency, you know, and patience, you know, that you are actually willing to fulfill your role as the man in her life, that she will gladly release those reins. But she's not going to just do it just because you want her to do it without there being any evidence of why she needs to let that stuff go, especially if she's been disappointed in the past. Okay, so, yeah. I know,
but wouldn't a single man fall into that same situation? Because he's not a woman, but if he's single,
sure,
then he's having to do A and B as well.
Absolutely.
Because it's funny, because that is, I mean, and I understand that the correlation between the two things, the only difference is, in that particular post, it didn't really define anything. So it's like we mm-hmm. kind of have to assume what they meant. But as far as, it's funny, the friend of mine who actually sent me that, we actually had the very same discussion you're talking about now, where we're talking about one of her friends was, she told a guy, and I don't know if we talked about this or not, but she said, want you, but I don't need you. And she did not want this man to take care of certain things that a man should take care of for a woman. You know, like if she need her car, her tire changed, I can change my car myself. And a man does want to feel like he's fulfilling this in a woman's life. There's certain things that a woman should not have to do if she has a man in her life. And I'm not talking about if she's married.
Right, right.
My girlfriend should not have to change a tire on her car. I don't like her to have to carry heavy groceries. She shouldn't have to do that when I'm here. If I'm over to her place and she sets the trash out, when I leave, I take that trash and I throw it away. And she's like, oh, no, you don't have to do that. You shouldn't have to take trash out if there's a man here. But neither should a man have to argue with a woman to do stuff like that. That's the thing that I don't understand. I'm like, why do you have a problem with a man doing things like that? Because he doesn't want you to have to lift heavy stuff or be bothered with trash or things like that, that he should be able to take care of for you. And really all he's trying to do is serve her. And that's, I mean, we went back and forth about that. I'm like, why would a woman have a problem with a man who's trying to serve her? Other than the fact that she's not used to that. Say that again. I'm sorry to hear you.
Wording it a little differently. Just saying it's probably used to what she's seen. So, like, I am single, but I have a stepdad. You know, and he's been on the same since I was 8 years old. And, you know, and so there are things that he has always just done, you know, and you're absolutely right. This is actually kind of a funny story. I was rushing. I got the trash ready to go and then walked off and forgot it. Came back. And I'm thinking, I know I didn't take the trash out. But my parents, they're in my condo. And I'm thinking, did I have a mindless moment? Did I leave it somewhere? And I just couldn't put a life in. And I'm like, have you guys been here? Oh, yeah. We took the trash and stuff out. Oh, thank you. You know, but like, you know, they'll do stuff like that. He was over here the other day hanging blinds and curtains and stuff for me because I wasn't going to do it.
Right,
you know,
right.
And so, but I totally understand that, you know, and there are certain things that, you know, the presence of a man just really makes your life, the quality of your life. And, I mean, even simple stuff like I was cooking something and just could not get this jar open, and I had to borrow the woman's husband across the hall. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Right. Right.
Would you mind opening this jar for me so I can finish my doggone dinner, you know?
Right.
Simple stuff like that. But I was fortunate enough to have had a male around, you know, so I got a chance to see those kinds of things, but a lot of women haven't. So if you have, you know, women doing everything, you know, and then you have, you know, mom and grandma in your ear, you know, talking about, you know, the whole independent, you know, woman thing, and, you know, you don't need a man for anything. You have those mindsets. It will be difficult for her to set that stuff aside, you know, those mindsets aside, and be able to embrace the role of a man. And then we talked, like, I think it was the first show we did together, where people don't always even understand what their roles are. And if you don't know what your role is, you know, how do you function in it?
Right.
So, you know, I think sometimes we have to kind of go back to the beginning when you're dealing with, you know, relationship stuff, just because, you know, we're all kind of starting wherever it is that we're starting. But it's like, okay, you know, let's locate where we are and then go back to the beginning and then begin to work from there. But you're absolutely right. You know, a woman should not be arguing with a man about him wanting to step up and function in his assigned role.
Right.
I mean,
right. And I'm not talking about younger women. I'm talking about people over 40. And what have you seen? I mean, there's things that I saw coming up with my parents that I have no intention of duplicating in my own marriage. I'm able to see what was good and what wasn't. And more importantly, my parents, there are certain examples that they may have set, but ultimately my role is not set by my father, set by Scripture. Now, if my father is doing what Scripture says, then, yeah, I can look at my father. But if he fell short of that, then I have Scripture to tell me what I'm supposed to be, who I'm supposed to be. So, and at this age, I'm 47 years old. And I'm saying, if I'm talking about women who are older, and in this case, I was talking to a friend, we're talking about somebody who's older, you know, like we are. And, I mean, a woman who's over 40, over 30, you've been in enough relationships to know what you like and what you don't like. And
mm-hmm.
and for a man, a man wants to feel like that he's a good man, that he's serving a purpose in a woman's life. And I'm not saying swooping in and just, you know, taking over everything, because that's not our role as men who are dating women, pursuing a woman to marry. But what role do I have in a woman's life if she wants to be, you know, I don't need you to do this, I don't need to do, okay, well then what can I do?
Right.
What do you need me for?
Exactly.
I don't even need in that sense. Yeah, I mean, you can fix your own tire, and I can fix my own food. I can hem my clothes. I know how to do that stuff. But
mm-hmm.
we should be able to do for each other. And you know, a man that doesn't feel needed, he's, like I said, a good man is not looking to take from a woman. It's like,
mm-hmm.
what, you want to feel like that you're serving her. And you can't serve a woman who she's saying, I don't really need you to serve me. I can take care of myself. I can do all these things that men do myself. And it's like, are you trying to prove something?
Let me ask you a question then. When
mm-hmm.
you brought that up to her, you know, and then asked her, you know, then what does she need a man for, or what does she want a man for, was she able to give you an answer?
Well, it wasn't her. It was a friend of hers. She told me that her friend said this. It wasn't
okay.
her. No, it was
mm-hmm,
a friend.
Okay. All right. So, that's
what I would have wanted to ask her. I mean, what does that relationship look like?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and you brought up a really good point saying, you know, that, you know, a man does want to know that he is needed for something, and if he can't get, and if he can't get that where he is, then he will more than likely move on to someone who does need what he has to offer, you know,
yeah.
and rightfully so. Rightfully so, you know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, for a person in the mindset of where that woman is, she wouldn't even realize that she pushed him away. You know, you had a good thing, but you pushed it away. I mean, you basically just, you know, told the next person, oh, here, you know, take it, I don't want it. You know, you didn't recognize the value in it. You didn't see the blessing in it for being what it was, you know. And but on the flip side of that, you know, for someone who has been, you know, without someone who's willing to step up and function in the role of being a man, you know, they're like, oh, please, send that this way. You know, they would recognize it in a heartbeat and jump right on it and know what it was and be able to appreciate it. But,
hopefully.
You know, hopefully, exactly.
Hopefully, because, okay. I mean, it's, we do this crazy dance where, in one sense, it's a complaint because I don't like what I've experienced in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the opposite of that comes, you would, and that's why I said hopefully, because you would expect that if a woman, for example, is used to men who don't treat her right, who are not dependent mm-hmm. on all that stuff, you figure when a good guy shows up, it should be just an easy situation. And a lot of times it's not. He goes
mm-hmm.
under all kind of scrutiny. I don't really know if I can trust this guy or not because I'm used to this, this, and this. Or what's his
mm-hmm.
angle? Because I'm used to those other guys, and it's like I'm less. Then he's less trustworthy because he's, even though she may have not liked what she got before, she was accustomed
mm-hmm.
to that, and she knew
right.
that. This guy comes along, and she's uncomfortable because I really don't know what his angle is, and I'm waiting
mm-hmm.
for him to do something crazy, and he's not. And
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times it scares a woman, and I think too because. Sometimes women deal with so much nonsense that in some regard, I think they almost feel like they deserve that and they're not worthy of a guy to treat them the way they should be, crazy as that may sound.
Nope. It's not crazy at all. I mean, the process behind it is crazy, but I understand what you're saying, you know, and it's kind of an interesting thing because I just got into this conversation with my mom. We were just, you know, just talking about relationship stuff. And, you know, and I was saying to her that, you know, there are some situations that come in and they, if it's not right, can kind of affect how you see yourself. And then there
mm-hmm.
are other situations that can come in that can affect how you see other people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, and both require a different level of healing to get out of, you know. But when you have been in the midst of foolishness, you know, for so long. And if you've not quite gotten through that place of being healed from whatever damage has happened in the midst of the circumstances, you know, there are things that kind of creep upon you sometimes. And so, you know, you might catch a person in a low place, and where if they're strong in their emotions and strong in their spirit at that time, they can recognize foolishness a mile off and blow it off. But you catch them when they might be low or might be lonely or might be that and the right person or the wrong person saying the right thing, you know, and end up fully engaged in the midst of this person's life. And they look up, you know, sometimes years later and go, how the heck did I end up here? Because they caught you in a wrong moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They just caught you at a low place, you know. And so, but I guess that's where you're guarding your heart and being vigilant and, you know, and staying on top of things, you know, makes a difference. But I brought all that up because you were talking about people who are accustomed, you know, to a certain kind of thing, you know. And so when you've been in it for so long, you know, even though, like, in the back of your mind you're thinking, I know I deserve better than this. You know, I know that I don't give this, so I don't deserve this back. You know, been going on so long, sometimes it's hard to extract yourself from it. And how you see yourself or situations may have been adjusted or affected in the midst of all that. So then that cycle starts, you know, and it really requires stepping back. This reminds me of a conversation I got into with somebody else. And the person was talking. Apparently, he had approached some woman that he wanted to have sex with, okay? And, well, you know, it is what it is, okay? So he approached her, and she wasn't feeling it. So she let him know, you know, I'm not really into all that, you know, whatever her reasons were. I don't know if she used, you know, I'm celibate because of God or, you know, whatever. So he was going off.
Wow.
He was mad. He was really offended about it, you know. He was going off, you know, but you're going off, you know, around the wrong person. So, you know, me being me, I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, hit you right where you are. And I'm like, you know, but you are telling you that she doesn't want what you want. And it's her body, and she can tell you no if she wants to, and she gets to be okay with that, and so do you. You know, I'm like, if it's some random sex partner that you want, why are you pursuing people who've already told you that they're not interested in that? Why don't you just go find yourself somebody who is, you know, and leave this girl alone? Because obviously she doesn't want what you want, you know. I can't remember why I brought that up.
And the thing that I would wonder, why would he feel like he was owed that? Why would he feel like he had a right to this woman that he's not married to?
Because he wanted it, and he's used to dealing with people who let him. So, you know, yeah, that's its own thing. You know, we obviously don't agree on life philosophy on some stuff, me and this guy, you know, but we still have conversations, and we still got to be able to accept people where they are, you know, and not judge them, to be able to get through to some, you know, thinking sometimes, you know. So I just let him talk about whatever it is that he feels like he needs to talk about, you know, and then whatever message it is God needs me to pour into him, I pour, whether he accepts or rejects it, you know. But, you know, but there's still this whole thing of, you know, right, you know, I want it, and, you know, let me just go here, because in the next breath, you'll be talking about, you know, okay, you know, you are now saying that you want, you know, the world from this person, and yet you don't want to buy him a drink when you meet him at the bar. You know, you don't want to open doors. You know, you don't mm-hmm. want to do anything, but she's supposed to be willing to just drop it just because you say so, you know, and just because you want it. I'm sorry, what was she supposed to be getting out of it? You know, so, you know, just talking about, you know, faulty thinking and weird logic and all that kind of stuff, you know. But that brings me to a different point. But I guess maybe it's related in a way. Boundaries is coming to mind. And so I'm going to give this scenario. I was at church for a while, but yeah, I was at church. And there was an older couple that I was really fond of. We would meet up after service and kind of chit-chat in the hallway and that kind of thing. So she would bring her granddaughter to church with her. And the little girl was probably, oh, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, you know. And she mm-hmm. was familiar with me because she would see me in the hallway, but she didn't know me. We didn't have a relationship. You know, she wasn't, you know, somebody who came to my house or, you know, spend any kind of time with me. And so, you know, just because grandma loves me and likes to hug me doesn't mean that this little girl needs to hug me who does not know me. And so,
right.
you know, so the little girl's like, you know, grandma's like, oh, go on, give Tamika a hug. And the little girl's looking, you know, like, shell-shocked, like, I don't really want to. And I'm like, you know, she doesn't really need to do that. You know, oh, no, it's fine. No, it's not fine. You know, because we have boundaries. We have natural boundaries that we are born with. And
mm-hmm.
so when things like that come up, you know, if grandma had kept pressing the issue, you know, here this little girl's natural thing kicks in and says, I don't want this person in my personal space, which she absolutely had the right to not have somebody in her personal space. And yet
mm-hmm.
here's someone who's older than saying, go ahead and just do it anyway. You know, and so eventually
right.
she learned to just erode and it erodes what we know of as our natural boundaries and what we know inside ourselves about ourselves. And so, you know, I'm like, you know, grandma, you know, she doesn't need to hug me, you know. And so I'm all for boundaries, but and I don't really have a problem with boundaries. But the more I deal with people, the more I realize that other folks really do have folks just bulldozing right over them all the time, and that's okay. And so, you know, whereas something, you know, that little voice inside is saying, I don't really want this, you know, that process of people just blowing off how you feel or blowing off what it was that you wanted, it just kind of, it makes it just kind of erode. And so
right.
you end up just doing a bunch of stuff that you don't want to end up doing, even though that little voice told you, you know, this isn't really the best route for you. And so, you know, it comes right back to what it is that we're talking about, you know, because there are things that we end up, not everyone, because not everyone struggles with their issues with boundaries, you know, but there are people who do, you know, and so there are many folks who are saying yes when they really want to say no, and then there's this anger or resentment or, you know, whatever that is, that springs up, you know, because their inner voice, that the voice is not really, it's not giving them what it is that they need. You know, they're not responding to it, and so they're angry and they're frustrated about that. So do you have anything
yeah.
to say then
about
boundaries?
I think there's certain, when it comes to boundaries, I think with women, there are certain things women are willing to do because they're pressured to do it. I mean, I've heard, I mean,
mm-hmm.
just recently, I can't remember who I was having a conversation with, but it was, well, yeah, I'll tell you one. Somebody told me, and they said that my mother told me, this is a woman, she told me, her mom told her that if she did not have sex with her boyfriend, somebody else would. So
mm-hmm.
she's pressured, in that sense, to have
right.
sex, even whether she wanted to or not, because she feels like, well,
mm-hmm.
If I don't have sex with him, then some other woman will. And I had somebody else say something similar to that to me just here a couple of days ago. And it was like, well, if I don't do it, then somebody else will. And I'm thinking, well, when it comes to things like that, then that should identify to you what type of man
mm-hmm.
this is and if this is a man that you actually
mm-hmm.
want to be with or not. Because if somebody else
mm-hmm.
will, then let somebody else have what you don't need.
That's right.
Because if
That's
he wants
right.
to have sex with you, then he should marry you.
Right.
I mean, that's cut and dry. If he wants certain entitlements, or he feels like he's, I don't know why anybody feels entitled to. I mean, we talk about being in somebody's personal space. It doesn't get any more personal
mm-hmm.
than being inside of somebody.
Right.
And what would make a person feel like they're entitled to that? And then what would make the other person feel like they're obligated? Because you're afraid
right.
that if you don't do it, somebody else is going to get this buster? Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you really
mm-hmm.
stop and think about it, because if he cared that much about you, then he would be, you know, he'd be talking marriage, let's get married, making plans or something. Not just like the guy you were talking about where you're actually angry. And it's just like, I mean, that blows my mind. And when I sit down and I have a conversation with other guys, I mean, I ask, what would make you feel like you're entitled to have sex with this woman? She's not your wife.
Right.
I mean, I just asked
one of my good buddies
a couple of days ago. We were having lunch, and he's been with the same girl for probably a couple of years now, definitely over a year, maybe a couple of years. And I said, when are you going to marry her? They live together. I said, when are you going to marry her?
Mm-hmm.
She's a good girl. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, why would you not marry her? Y'all doing all of the same stuff you do if you were married. You live together.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
mm-hmm.
is it any more difficult to get that 30-year mortgage than it is to make a decision to marry?
Right. What do you say? Did he have a good
He said he's gonna marry her. I mean, because I'm real with him. It's one of my young
mm-hmm.
younger buddies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just talk openly and honest. You got a good girl,
mm-hmm.
and you living with her. Because me, I mean, honestly, I would be uncomfortable. I would feel like I wouldn't feel comfortable around my girlfriend's father if I lived with her and I'm
mm-hmm.
not married to her. I feel like I'm
right.
taking advantage of this man. This is his daughter. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm disrespecting not only her, but him. This is your daughter that's in your care that she calls him when she needs something. Because
that's
her
right.
father. That's who's responsible
right.
for her until she get married. And here it is. I'm taking advantage of certain liberties that I don't deserve. And if I
mm-hmm.
feel that way about her, if I'm willing to run the risk of becoming a parent with her, why am I not willing to marry her? That doesn't
right.
make sense to me. I mean, that does not make, it's not right, but it doesn't make sense to me either.
I understand. I have two things I want to say. Okay, so the first one is, I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about, you know, a message that only a man can bring to another man, okay? So your friend was willing to, you know, hear what you have to say, you know, here's a man, and you have proven who you are, you know, over and over, so he knows that you are someone who, you know, and he sees you as someone who can speak into his life, okay? So, you know, here I'm having this conversation, you know, with a man, and it was a total blow-off, as you probably knew it would be, you know, and then he got kicked off and stopped talking to me. And, you know, if he chooses to come back around, you know, whatever, okay, it's fine. And if he chooses not to, that's fine too, you know, but you brought it up and then didn't want truth to come smack you in the face.
Right,
so, you
right.
know, it came, but there is some messages that women can just not really bring up to a man. It really has to come from another man to call him on his stuff. You know, too bad you weren't there. You might have listened to what you had to say.
Yeah, I would have wanted to know, what makes you feel entitled?
The other thing
you
I want to say
you want
to
you just want to run up to somebody's daughter just because you enjoy
right.
it? Really?
Exactly. You know, and my whole thing is, you know, why do to someone else's daughter what you wouldn't want done to your mother, your daughter, your sister, your favorite cousin? You know, you'd be willing to go tooth and nail and fight somebody over them, but you're willing to dog out somebody else's mother.
Or how about some
cousin,
woman
whatever.
He liked? How about some woman he's interested in? She goes out with him for a few months. They don't have sex or any of that. He likes her a lot, so he's willing to wait. And then she decides, I'm not interested. And he's like, well, what's all this about? I took you out. I spent money, this, that, and the other. And so, well, because I wanted to. I enjoy men doing nice things for me. No guy would like that. He would feel like he was
mm-hmm.
used. Not that
mm-hmm.
we mind spending money, but you don't want to spend money
mm-hmm.
under those
mm-hmm.
under false pretenses. I don't mind spending
mm-hmm.
money. If I'm going out with... Typically, if I was going out with a girl, whether I was in a relationship with her or not, and we were friends, I typically spend money. I would usually
mm-hmm.
pay just because, you know, I'm you know, not that I'm obligated. It's just I just pay. Let me take care
You're
of it.
Doing.
No big deal. But you don't want – no guy
mm-hmm.
wants to do that when – especially when it's somebody that you actually have an interest in and you feel like
mm-hmm.
she does too. And usually when a woman is allowing a man that type of liberty with her, she's looking for more than that. Just like that old saying, I don't know if I mentioned it. I thought about it last week. I don't think I ever mentioned it, but there's an old saying that says, and I'm sure you've heard it, it says that men give love to get sex and women give sex to get love.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad part about that is, and I think there's a whole lot of truth to that, I think a lot of times, just like we talked about earlier, just a few minutes ago, a woman will allow a man to, she'll relax some of her boundaries because she thinks, well, if I do this, he'll like me, he'll see that I'm a good woman, that I'm a worthy woman. And she's
mm-hmm.
doing that contingent upon or hoping that the relationship develops from there. Well, if she's with a guy and that's all he wants, then there's nowhere for the relationship to go beyond that because he's already got what he wanted.
Exactly. You posted something the other day, and I didn't put that in my notes, but you were talking about how a man treats a woman and how a woman allows herself to be treated. Can you quote that or talk about that a little bit for the audience?
No, I'm laughing because you asked me to quote it. I'm like, sometimes it takes me so long, and I do so much editing on what I'm trying to think that I don't remember what I wrote. I mean, I remember the gist of it.
Okay.
I think I said it was something to the effect of how a man treats a woman. Well, I can't remember the exact quote, but I remember essentially what
it
was.
Okay. I'll find it. Hold on a second.
I do remember posting it because I was a little nervous when I posted it because I didn't want to offend anybody. I was hoping people understood what my point was.
Oh, here. When a man loves a woman, his treatment of her is not predicated on what she will allow. His treatment of her is a reflection of how much he values her. What she allows is a reflection of how much she values herself.
Okay.
Wow.
You hear a man is only going to do what you allow. And I'm like, that's retarded. That's not what a man does. Because a man, if a woman will allow him to take advantage of her, a man, he's not going to take advantage of that woman because she will allow him to do it, because what she allows is a reflection of how she values herself. How he treats her says everything about who he is, not about her. So if he's a worthwhile man, he's not going to take advantage of a woman who he can take advantage of. If anything, he's going to try to build that woman up. But
right.
How she allows a man to treat her is just a reflection of how she sees herself. And I've said this before, and I believe it. I think it's very true. I mean, our relationships are like mirrors, and they reflect a person, a woman or a man, but a woman will not be in a relationship. If she values herself, she's not going to be in a relationship where a man doesn't value her. She's not.
Right.
Because you got a woman, if she thinks much of herself and a man does not show her that type of respect or treat her in that manner, he won't be in her life that long at all. But the problem when you see women in these bad relationships, it's because they don't value themselves, and that relationship reflects how they see themselves. And usually it's because they've been in a lot of bad relationships, you know, or they've not, you know, had that father who should have initially been the first one to establish her worth, sat on her on his knee, told her he loved her, and then, as I stated before, she should be able to see that interaction between her father and her mother. And if her father loved her mom the way he should have, then she sees how a man treats a woman different between how a father treats his daughter.
Right.
And a lot of times they don't see that. And the sons don't see it either, as we talked about it before. So you get the boys who are messed up who don't know how to treat the woman, and then you have the women who settle for less because they don't see themselves as deserving more.
Right. You said,
even though they want it.
Yeah, that's true. They don't always know how to get it. That's right. You had said, I guess it's been maybe a week or so ago, ladies, every man dates with a destination in mind, admittedly or not. The question is, what destination is he bidding you to journey on with him? Is it a short walk to the bedroom or a long walk of permanence down the altar? It will serve you well to know exactly where he's leading you before following. He has a destination in mind. What role do you play in his plans? You want to talk to our ladies about that?
Yeah. When a man approaches a woman, he wants something. I don't mean that he has ulterior motives, that he, you know, he's a predator or anything. But when I hear people in a relationship and it's, well, let's just see where this goes, or, I mean, I've actually talked to women, one I'm thinking of in mind, she's talking about a guy she's dating, and I asked her, you know, just her, I don't know if I asked her, she just told me, she's like, well, I don't really know if, you know, if he's my boyfriend or not. I'm like, how do you not know if a man is, if you, how do you not know whether you're in a committed relationship or not? And then she mentioned to me that she had found something, not nothing bad, but she had mentioned to me about washing his clothes. And I didn't say all of this to her, but I'm thinking in my mind, how do you not know the nature of your relationship and you're washing his clothes?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. You're washing a man's clothes, and you're in your mind, you're thinking, well, I think we're together, but I'm not really. So you've gone as far as you're washing his clothes, which you're probably doing other stuff if you're washing his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But you've not had any discussion about what your relationship is? That's crazy. If a man is approaching a woman, first of all, a woman shouldn't even have to ask. He should tell you what his intentions are. She should know. But if he's not, then she should be asking, look, okay, you know, where is this going? And you need to get the 20 questions. I mean, she shouldn't have to ask that. But you need to know, because if a man is approaching you, he's approaching you for a reason. Why is a complete stranger going to walk across the room and approach a woman, risk embarrassment, trying to establish an instant rapport? There's something that he wants, that he's willing to take that type of risk, and she needs to know what that is.
This is what I have noticed, and just over the years, I've just noticed that when a man is not willing to put a label on a relationship or certain boundaries in place, that his intention is really to just take as much out of it that he can get. And then if she decides that she wants to kind of pin him down and question, you know, like, what are we, or is there more, or, you know, can there be more, or I thought we were such and such, you know, he would say, well, we never talked about that, you know. And so
it
almost kind of, to me, it kind of reminds me of someone who goes in with the intent of using someone just to get whatever they can get, you know.
Right.
And using that as an excuse to back out should the person try and demand that they step up or more, you know. And that's just my thought on that. You agree, or you feel differently?
No, I agree 100%. You know what the classic line for that is? I'm not ready for a serious relationship.
Oh, right.
I'm not ready for a serious relationship. And that's usually what you hear just before you enter into a situation where you're doing all of the same things that people do when they are in serious relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the disclaimer. So when you do, and it's funny because you said, you lined it out just right. You get in that relationship that's not really defined, and then she's thinking that it's something that it's not, and then when she starts asking for definition like women do, which they should, and he starts looking for the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he feels boxed in. You know, I ain't ready for no serious relationship. Okay, you're having sex. That's not serious?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where babies come from. That's
right.
Not serious?
Right.
So you keep committing serious acts. But it's funny to me, because you're not ready for a serious relationship, but if you were in a serious relationship with somebody you wanted to be with, you would be doing all the same things. So how is it not serious in this situation, but you're committing the same act with somebody else and it is serious? That's insane. And it's irresponsible. And I hear it. You know, I hear that kind of stuff from guys. And, you know, women settle for it. Why? Because, well, if I don't do it, somebody else will.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like, you know, you're hopeless because, yeah, you don't want to be alone. Or you get the guy who's not trying to do those things. And I had this conversation at work with some younger girls. And then it's like, that guy's boring. Like, really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a woman wants to feel like she can be protected. So you're assuming that if a guy is not going to take advantage of you, that he's going to bore you to death and he can't protect you. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, part of protecting a woman is not just physically, but to protect
her
emotionally. And you're not protecting her emotionally when you're taking advantage of her.
Right.
She don't even know where the relationship going, and y'all already in it.
Right. Right. I have so many thoughts on this. you know. Okay, let's talk about, you posted something on ultimatums. You want to talk about ultimatums?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I think, I mean, if you have to give a man an ultimatum, he's not interested. It's just like we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
When a man approaches a woman, he should have already made a decision that he wants to be in a relationship. He's looking to get married. That's the whole point in approaching a woman. That's why I approached my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her, and you know, we went out. I liked her, and before I even met her, I knew I wanted to get married. But I have to find a wife. So, where do ultimatums come from? She didn't need to give me an ultimatum. I already knew what I wanted. I knew I wanted to be married before I met her. The thing of it is, you date to find out, is this somebody, are we compatible for one another? But when a woman is giving a guy an ultimatum, it's because you've already gone past all of that stuff. And you are in a situation, 9 chances out of 10, where they're conducting themselves like they're already married, and it's that situation like you mentioned, and she's trying to define the relationship. He doesn't want to define the relationship because why do I need to? Defining a relationship means now I'm actually committing to you. We're already doing everything, and I'm fine with that. But she's saying, okay, what is this? We're doing this, this, and this, but what are we? And that's what she's saying. And he's like, why we got to call? You know, I ain't ready for nothing serious. And then she gives an ultimatum. Either we're going to be together and we're going to have a relationship, a committed relationship, or I'm going to be with somebody else. A woman should never have to do that. She should never have to put a guy in a... She should never have to direct the relationship that he initiated. She should never be an initiator anywhere in a relationship. But if he approached you, then, again, that goes back. What was the point? What was he initiating a relationship for? Why did you approach her?
Right.
If it's at a point to start giving ultimatums, and I'm going to say, I've heard situations where women gave a guy an ultimatum and they got married. I think that's risky. That's really, really risky. Can it work? Yeah, but I'm like, who wants to do that? Does a woman always, because I think me and one of my friends are talking about that, and she said, you know, a woman in her mind, she'll always wonder if he married her just because she gave him an ultimatum or did he really want to marry her? Who wants to feel that way?
Or if he feels trapped, you know, you never know. You know, trapped animals are not nice animals, you know. And so when people are trapped, you know, you can trigger some interesting behaviors. You know, interesting that we're talking about this. My parents were teenagers when I was born, met in high school, all that. And, you know, and, well, here I am, okay. And they had been living together and, you know, and doing all that kind of stuff and weren't married. You know, and she issued him an ultimatum. You know, he did marry her. She went through hell. it wasn't worth it. I'm going to actually go ahead and read the quote that you had here. Ladies, a man that is forced to make a decision by giving an ultimatum has already made his decision. The ultimatum you give him is really a measure to override his decision that does not favor your best interest. You deserve the best heaven has to offer. Righteous men pursue by choice, not by force. This distinguishes males from men. Your heart is not a playground, neither was your body fashioned for joy rides of fools who see no greater purpose in you. I thought that was really, really great. I had to say that, especially that last line there, you know. And so I was probably, eight or nine or something like that when they divorced. And, you know, she tried to, you know, hang in there for whatever her reasons and stuff were. It was a mess right from the very beginning. He was a womanizer and, you know, abuser and, you know, you name it. And I remember her talking to me and asking me, you know, would I have wanted them back together? I'm like, are you kidding? I was doing cartwheels when you let that go, you know. And, you know, not every kid wants their parents together if they can see that it's not a worthwhile situation. No one wants to see their parent, you know, especially their mother being dogged out, you know, which is what I saw. And, yeah, she'd been better off having left him where she found him, but, you know, whatever. You know, so, yeah, but I appreciated what you had to say then, you know, just about what you really deserve, you know. And sometimes we end up pursuing stuff and just we don't know that there's more out there that's available. And of course, I would have to get into all mom's history and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to do all that now. But, you know, I could see how she attracted him. If she could have just done a little bit of inner work, you know, and would have known just somebody to point to her and tell her that you are worth so much more than this. You know, it could have had a very different kind of outcome, you know. But, and I think that's what it all kind of boils down to. You know, so I'm glad we got a chance to kind of start this series, you know, with all of your insight and all the stuff that you have had a chance to pour. And then we'll go back and we'll start breaking it down piece by piece. We're down to the last few minutes here. Derek is based in Tennessee, and you are going to be part of a very powerful panel. Can you tell our listening audience about what you're doing and how they can be a part of it?
Yes. We're doing a panel, having a panel discussion next Friday, December the 6th, at the Wesley Foundation on TSU campus. It's going to be an all-male panel called Honey, We Need to Talk. And it'll be, I think it's five or six of us guys who will be on the panel. And the women will be able to ask us questions anonymously that they want to ask, and hopefully we'll have some really, really good open and honest dialogue about relationships so we can get a better understanding of one another. Not that stuff, you know, where the men are pitted against the women, that kind of stuff. I want to have some real open, honest dialogue, and the men will be there in the hot seat for the women to ask us questions, like why men cheat and all that stuff that I always get asked. So it's going to be next December 6th from 7 to 10. And it's free. It's a free event.
Oh, awesome. And so now you have been listening to some of the posts. I've been sharing things and putting some of this post on my fan page. And, you know, how can listeners follow you so that they can, you know, get these profound insights, you know, delivered directly to their own news feeds and things like that?
The best place to find me is on Facebook, facebook.com/dknows2, DKNOWS2, or on Twitter at Derek Quince, DerekQuince.
All right. This has been great. I'm so thankful that you've been a part of this this series, and you know, just thank you so much for joining us and for sharing.
I appreciate you asking me to come.
Yes, and when your book comes out, let us know that too, so that we can have you back on the show. You know,
I will do that.
I mean, I've got a few announcements here. I have been invited to be the MC for the Freedom to Love Again cruise that's going to Cozumel, Mexico, and that's June 19th through the 22nd next year. You can register for your cabin and get cruise information. And you can get information on that at facebook.com/the Freedom to Love Again cruise. They're doing really great things there, and it's sure to be a great time. So if you are interested in doing that, that ties right in with the relationship stuff that we're doing here. And, you know, she's got some really great things lined up. So go ahead and check that out on Facebook so you can see, you know, what's actually on the agenda, and maybe I'll get to see some of you there on the cruise, okay? And as you know, I have recently started the Say What Book Club. We are avid readers with voracious appetites for well-written, thought-provoking books featuring the works of both new and emerging authors. We are readers, writers, and lovers of words all gathered together in one place. For those of you who are in the Detroit metro area, we meet the third Sunday of each month starting in January from 3 to 5 at Panera Bread at Westline Mall. And for those of you who are outside of the Detroit quarry, we have an interactive group on Facebook where you can participate and connect with the authors and everything that we're doing. We are more than just a book club. We are a movement, so go ahead and join the movement. And you can find us at facebook.com/groups/SayWhatBookClub. If you're not following me and wish to do so and would like to keep up with what I'm doing, I get the daily inspirational messages I post. You may follow me on Twitter, at Tumika Patrice, that's at T-U-M-I-K-A Patrice, T-A-T-R-I-C-E, and on Facebook, it's Tumika Patrice Kane. And if you've not read my award-winning novel, Season of Change, I encourage you to get your copy today. It's available on all e-readers, and downloads are only $1.99, and it's also available in hard copy. You can get that from Amazon or directly from my website. That is www.tanikapatrice.com. Okay. And again, we are signing off tonight. But Derek, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
For sharing your heart and relationship. You know, just keep posting those messages because you are impacting lives more than you know. Okay.
I appreciate
and
that.
As always, stay true to yourself. Be honest about what you want and what you need, and don't settle for less than God's best. Stay encouraged. Stay on the path of self-discovery and keep working the progress. The process, excuse me, will all come together in time. As always, make each day a great day.